Now we're going to move on to the announcement yesterday that most U.S. troops will be leaving Saudi Arabia by the end of this summer. The United States has maintained a strong military presence in Saudi Arabia since the first Gulf War, but the stationing of U.S. troops so close to Islam's holiest cities was a constant source of Saudi public unrest. American and Saudi officials both say that without the threat from Saddam Hussein, U.S. troops are no longer needed, and that the move does not reflect any deeper shift in the relationship between the two countries. Observers say the change opens new questions about the future of America's interests in the region and the Saudi regime itself. If you have questions about the U.S. relationship with Saudi Arabia, give us a phone call, 800-989-TALK. The email address, as always, TOTN@NPR.org. Joining us from his home in Cairo to discuss these issues is Scott McCloud, who's Middle East Bureau Chief for Time Magazine. Scott, always good to have you.
Hi, Neil. How are you?
What are you hearing about this decision? Both the U.S. and the Saudis say it is mutual. Is that really what's going on?
Well, my sources in both the U.S. government and in Saudi Arabia are basically saying the same thing. That, you know, most of these troops went to Saudi Arabia when the 500,000 or so went to perform Operation Desert Storm in 1990-1991. And most of them left. 5,000 or so stayed for Operation Southern Watch, which was part of the containment policy of the Bush and then Clinton administration, the first Bush administration. And these troops have been flying thousands of missions over southern Iraq for 12 or 13 years now. And obviously with the end of the Saddam Hussein regime, the purpose of those troops is no longer needed. It's an obsolete operation.
But a lot of people thought the U.S. Once there would more or less stay forever. And a lot of people in Saudi Arabia did too.
I think so. I think that this was somewhat overblown, however. This was definitely an irritant in Saudi-American relations. It became a political football. It always made good copy. But the United States and Saudi Arabia has had a security relationship that's involved American troops or forces in Saudi Arabia since the Truman administration. Mostly this is training and helping the Saudis, you know, get used to or you know, trained with American hardware, military hardware and equipment. And this relationship, this military relationship is going to continue. The only thing that's really happening is the troops that went because of the Kuwait crisis in 1990 are leaving. And I think that there is going to be speculation about, you know, wouldn't the Americans prefer to stay? Wouldn't the Saudis prefer that they stay so that they have this security umbrella there? But given the nature, the changing nature of the power relationships in the region with the fall of Saddam Hussein, I think that the Saudis and the Americans have an understanding that their strategic relationship is not going to change, and it's not required that American troops be present in the country in order to maintain that relationship.
Well, joining us now from his home in New Jersey is Fawaz Jurgis, the Chair of International Affairs and Middle Eastern Studies at Sarah Lawrence College, and it's good of you to join us again.
Thank you.
Now, again, this is no secret to anybody. Osama bin Laden's one of his principal complaints was the presence of U.S. forces in Saudi Arabia. How important has this been to the average Saudi citizen, and how important is the withdrawal likely to be, do you think?
This was a highly important issue in domestic politics in Saudi Arabia. In Saudi Arabia itself, the American military presence poured fuel on an already raging fire, and I would argue it played a decisive role in giving rise to bin Ladenism. After all, Saudi Arabia is not your typical Muslim state. It prides itself on being the custodian of the most sacred Islamic places, that is Mecca and Medina, and the most fundamental society in the world of Islam. Saudi Arabia and the royal family in particular, it tried to legitimize its rule by providing support for Islamist causes worldwide. In this particular context, I think the American military presence exposed the gap between what I call the royal family's rhetoric and conduct. And I think in a sense, it enabled dissatisfied groups like that, bin Laden and other groups, to use this particular military presence to attack the royal family and call its legitimacy into question. And in this particular sense, I think the American military presence played a divisive role in internal politics in Saudi Arabia. And in this sense here, I think the thinning out of the U.S. military presence, let's remember that the U.S.-Saudi Arabian strategic relationship is to continue. It has been so since the end of World War II. But the thinning out of the American military presence, I will argue, will remove a major irritant and grievance on the part of the dissatisfied militant forces inside the kingdom.
We're talking about the decision to move most U.S. troops out of Saudi Arabia by the end of the summer. Our guests are Scott McCloud of Time Magazine and Fawaz Jurgis of Sarah Lawrence. And you're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And let's get a listener involved. Michael joins us now on the line from is that Machias, Maine? Am I pronouncing that right?
Machias,
excuse me.
Yeah, I think it's a good thing that we're pulling out. For one thing, it'll be safer, I think, in the long run for our people. The majority of the 9/11 hijackers coming from Saudi Arabia, Bin Laden coming from Saudi Arabia, I don't think they're as strong an ally as they purport or as our government would like us to believe.
Scott McCloud, the United States, certainly there is that strain of thought.
Yes, I think that we're dealing with two levels here. And the government of Saudi Arabia is one thing, and the people are something else. There's some convergence of views, but the government, you know, since the days of Ibn Saud, the founder of the country, has wanted and has had a very close strategic relationship with the U.S. I don't think that this withdrawal, for the reasons I mentioned earlier, is going to affect that strategic relationship very much. Other things may. For example, if the United States does manage to foster democracy in Iraq, which is a major country in the Gulf, and that country, that democratic country, wants to have a strong strategic relationship with the U.S., this will definitely affect the closeness that the U.S.-Saudi relationship has had. But this pullout, I don't think, is going to affect that. The people of Saudi Arabia are annoyed with American policy and with their own government for many reasons. I agree with your other guest that the military presence has been an irritant, but probably, in my view, talking to many Saudis over the last 2 years in the kingdom, not as much as the Palestinian crisis, the Intifada, in which Israel is being viewed as beating up on the Palestinians with American support, or even the previous policy of sanctions against Iraq, which were widely viewed in Saudi Arabia as contributing to the starvation and deaths of many Saudi children.
Mm-hmm. Michael, thanks very much.
Thank you.
Fawaz Jurgis, will the withdrawal of U.S. forces from Saudi Arabia on a mutually agreement, is that likely to make the United States talk about its plans for Iraq a little bit more credible in the Arab world?
I mean, this is a minor issue in the overall American foreign policy in the Middle East itself. I think let's remember that the strategic relationship between the United States and Saudi Arabia will likely not be affected by the thinning out of the American military presence. I think, as Scott mentioned, I think there are bigger issues involved here. That is, how will the United States conduct itself in Iraq in the next few months and next few years down the road? Will the Bush administration live up to its promise, not only in assisting Iraqis in rebuilding their lives, but in fully enabling Iraqis to really determine their political future? Will the administration be consistent on the question of the human rights and the rule of law? Will the administration try to nudge and encourage its allies, in particular Saudi Arabia, to open up the political system and integrate the rising social forces into the political sphere? Will the Bush administration invest considerable political resources in trying to resolve the simmering Palestinian-Israeli conflict? These are the big issues. I mean, this particular issue, the American military presence, basically enabled dissatisfied elements of the Bin Laden variety, the militant Islamist forces. But overall, I think Scott is correct. The majority of Saudi Arabians and Egyptians and Palestinians and Lebanese care very much about what I call the more substantive issues.
Mm-hmm.
The question of democracy, the question of the human rights, the Palestinian-Israeli conflict, and of course America's consistency when it comes to using democracy as a stick to punish its enemies while shutting its eyes and ears for human rights violations by its local allies.
Scott, we just have a few seconds left, but I did want to ask briefly if you thought that this move will assist or hurt those who are advocating democratic reforms in Saudi Arabia. Some talk we heard about that just before this war.
Yes, I think it will help it tremendously, because this relationship regarding the military, as I said, was a political football. It was a distracting issue, and it's not so much just the withdrawal, but it's the withdrawal. It's the fall of Saddam Hussein, the relaxation of tensions in the region. It's going to allow the Saudis, from the government to the street, to start focusing on the problems inside Saudi Arabia, and I think there is a will amongst some in the Saudi government to address those.
Scott McCloud, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Scott McCloud, Middle East Bureau Chief for Time Magazine. He joined us from Cairo. And Fawaz Jerjes is Head of the International Affairs and Middle Eastern Studies Programs at Sarah Lawrence College. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
And he was with us from his home in New Jersey. In Washington, I'm Neil Conan, NPR News.